Today we take a brief look into the life of the third Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Dhun-Nurayn, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for two of his daughters. The only man in history to have had the good fortune of having married two daughters of a Nabi. Subhanallah. He was such a personality who was promised Jannah on the lips of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was by none other than by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. So we need to understand, you know, the method of accreditation in Islam. In other words, the criteria by which praise and honor is awarded. The yardstick for praise and honor is simple. Wherever we find a person having a unique bond or link with Allah and His Messenger, whereby it is established that He loves them both, and He's turned, in turn to that, Allah and His Messenger love him, and then such a person is held in high esteem by us and worthy of honor and in praise. And in this light, there's one particular incident in history which best illustrates the love Allah and His Messenger had for Sayyidina Uthman and his love for Allah and Allah's Messenger. So let us look at this amazing incident. During the initial years of Islam, Nabi Sallam and the Sahaba had to undergo severe trials until torture, persecution. And after 13 years of suffering, a century appeared in the most unlikely place, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Muslims, were instructed to migrate to Medina. And the people of Medina had opened their hearts, their homes, to their brothers from Mecca who made hijrah for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and for the love of their religion, their faith, away, a distance away from their home. And all of this was done with the hope that they would finally have peace, they would have safety and security. And the Mushrikeen of Mecca, on the other hand, had not only, you know, on the, they had not, or they did not grant them a respite even at this juncture, even after they had migrated. So in the second year after Hijrah, they attempted to wipe out Islam in Badr, but were soundly overwhelmingly defeated by Allah and His Messenger and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And their pride was wounded. They returned the next year, in the third year after Hijrah, with an even larger army. But even after a momentary defeat, the battle still belonged to Allah and His Messenger and the Sahaba. And the Kuffar could not claim their venture had been successful. Then in the fifth year after Hijrah, they marched on Medina with a huge army of 10,000. And never before in the history of the Arabs was such a large army conscripted. It seemed as if Islam was about to meet its end. And this was the Battle of Khandaq. And the Mushrikeen were defeated once again. But this time they were utterly humiliated. This broke their backs. Their prides were shattered. And now enter the sixth year after Hijrah, in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees a dream in which he has entered Mecca and he has made tawaf of the Baytullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interprets the dream to mean that Allah was going to allow the Muslims to perform Umrah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informs his Sahaba to make preparation for this auspicious journey. And they were overjoyed and ecstatic on hearing this news that they were unable to visit Mecca since they made Hijrah. The Muhajireen were excited. To them it was not only Umrah but a chance to see their homeland once again. And this was in the year or in the month of Zulqa'dah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set out from Mecca with the intention of performing Umrah, along with 1400 of the noble Sahaba, all of them in Ihram, taking their sacrificial animals so that everybody would know that they were not going for war but to pay a visit to the Kaaba. And Sayyidina Busair ibn Safwan was sent ahead as a scout to ascertain the movement of the Mushrikeen. But he soon returned with the news that the Quraysh have learnt of their movements and had sent Khalid bin Walid ahead with his group to dissuade them from proceeding towards Mecca. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consulted with the Sahaba, and having thoroughly defeated the Quraysh just a year before, the morale was high amongst the Sahaba. All of them suggested that we confront them and continue to Makkah. And the Prophet ﷺ asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr for his opinion, who suggested that the Muslims attempt to reach Makkah without an encounter, as they set out for Umrah and not for battle. And subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ agreed to avoid confrontation with Quraysh. And they took a detour, treading alternate routes until they were very close to Makkah. And when Nabi ﷺ reached Hudaybiyah, the Prophet ﷺ thought it was best to send a messenger to them, first to inform them of his arrival, to prevent bloodshed and fighting. And their purpose was, after all, Umrah and not battle. And Nabi ﷺ sent Khishar ibn Umayyah al-Khuzai to inform the Quraysh. The Quraysh were bitter and did not receive the messenger of Allah well. And they pulled him off his camel and slaughtered it. And were nearly about to kill him, you know, they wanted to, but then there was an intercession of a few of the chiefs. They then said no, they would not kill him. That if the word were to get out that the Quraysh had started killing Hujjaj, you know, who are clad in ihram, so they spared his life. And then Khishar returned to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, informed him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intended to send someone else instead, someone who could not be easily, you know, silenced or killed with impunity. So he called Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab to send him to Makkah as a messenger. And Sayyidina Umar feared that he would not succeed in convincing the Quraysh, and that the enmity he displayed towards them and the harsh manner in which he treated them would compromise the negotiation. And he said that, "I will suggest to you a man that they respect more than myself, Uthman bin Affan." And Nabi Salim agreed and also understood that Sayyidina Uthman to be the most suitable for the task. And he then sent him to Abu Sufyan and the rest of the Quraysh to tell them that they had not come to war but merely to perform the Umrah. And Sayyidina Uthman went to Makkah and delivered Nabi Salim's message to Abu Sufyan and other leaders of the Quraysh. And after the people of Makkah had heard the message that Sayyidina Uthman had brought them, Sayyidina Uthman, you know, his love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was put to test. He said that if what you want to do is tawaf, then you are free to do so now. He said, "I will not do so until Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has gone around the Kaaba." And the Quraysh were offended, you know, by this, and prevented Sayyidina Uthman from returning after he declined the offer of tawaf. And as the time was dragging on, the rumor then started to spread that the Muslims, you know, in the Muslim camp, that Sayyidina Uthman had been killed, and that is why he hasn't returned. And it was this juncture that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat beneath a tree in Hudaybiyah and called the Sahaba to pledge their allegiance to him to avenge the death of Sayyidina Uthman. "We will not be leaving before engaging in battle," he said. "The first step is to step forward with Abu Sinan al-Aswad, who pledged to fight to death to avenge Sayyidina Uthman." And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the same oath from the 1400 of the Sahaba who were standing around him, and they all took the same oath. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam struck one of his hands on the other and saying, "This is the pledge on behalf of Sayyidina Uthman." Allahu Akbar. How beloved was he to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How beloved he was to the Sahaba, that, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and all the Sahaba were willing to fight to death to avenge his blood. From the beginning of the journey, on numerous occasions, right until Sayyidina Uthman was sent to the Quraysh. In fact, the purpose of sending him was the very that we are here for Umrah, not for battle. But now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a pledge from the Sahaba, dressed in ihram, to go to battle. And they all answered, subhanAllah. So Sayyidina Uthman was really beloved to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the believers. And when the Muslims first migrated to Medina, there was no suitable water available except from the well of Ruma, which belonged to a Jew who charged people to drink the water. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approached him and asked him to sell the well to him in exchange for a garden in Jannah. And the Jew refused, choosing the prophet of this world over the prophets of the after. And when Sayyidina Uthman learned this, he went to the man and offered him to buy it for 5,000, but the man still refused. Sayyidina Uthman increased it to 10,000, he still refused. Sayyidina Uthman offered him 15,000 continued increasing until 40,000, and then he purchased it at price. And he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said that if someone else were to purchase this well and donate it for the use of the Muslims, will you guarantee him also paradise? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said yes. Sayyidina Uthman then said, "I make you witness, I've already purchased it and donated to the Muslims." Subhanallah. This was the generosity of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhum. We all know about the Mehr-e-Fatimi. is the mehr, the dowry paid by Sayyidina Ali for the hand of Sayyidina Fatima, which equals to 400 silver coins. But how did this amount come about? Sayyidina Ali himself narrates that, you know, when he proposed for Sayyidina Fatima, he informed Nabi Salim that he owed nothing but his horse, sword and armor. And Nabi Salim instructed him to go to the marketplace and sell the sword and the armor and return with the money. And Sayyidina Ali then left to sell his sword and armor. And the first person he bumped into was Sayyidina Uthman, who asked him where he was going. And Sayyidina Ali told him that he was going to sell this so that he could wed the daughter of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as soon as Sayyidina Uthman, who himself had the honor of marrying two daughters of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, heard this, he offered to purchase it for 400 silver coins. And Sayyidina Ali agreed. And as soon as they had exchanged the armor for the money, Sayyidina Uthman asked him, "O Ali, are you not more entitled to the coins now than I am? Free to do with it as you wish." And Sayyidina Ali replied that most certainly that was the case. And Sayyidina Uthman then said, "Am I not entitled to the sword and the armor than you, and can do with it as I wish?" And Sayyidina Ali once again replied and said, "Yes, that is the case." Sayyidina Uthman then revealed that, what he wanted, the plan up his sleeve. He said, "I give the sword and the armor to you as a gift." And Sayyidina Ali rushed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, giving him the money and informing him of what Sayyidina Uthman had done. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and made dua for his son-in-law, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Masjid al-Nabawi was built by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when they first arrived in Medina. And the numbers were still few, and the size of the masjid was built to accommodate. However, as the numbers of the Muslims continued to increase, the masjid could no longer accommodate for all the musallis. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intended to extend the masjid. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam announced, "Who will buy the land and add it to the masjid in return for something better in Jannah?" And it was Sayyidina Uthman who fulfilled this request of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, purchasing the land for 25,000 dirhams and adding it to the masjid, making it big enough to accommodate all the activities that were to be carried out. And during the expedition of Tabuk, when resources were scarce, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam requested the Sahaba to donate generously for this campaign. And many of them came forth and gave as much as they could spare, but it was Sayyidina Uthman who surpassed all and effectively equipped one third of the army, donated 900 camels, 100 horses, 200 uqiyah of silver. He then came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with 1,000 gold coins and placed it before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so pleased with this action of Sayyidina Uthman that he kept turning the coins over his hands all the time, saying, "Nothing can harm Uthman after today. Nothing can harm Uthman after today." This was not the last of the generosity and the services of Sayyidina Uthman, that he had rendered to the Deen of Islam. His generosity is like a candle that lights up a room or even a home, while the generosity of Sayyidina Uthman was like that of the sun. You know, ordinary generosity is like that of a candle that lights up a room. So this great personality of the Ummah, Sayyidina Uthman, for whom Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had taken the oath and the pledge of allegiance on death. He was so beloved to Allah, which Allah Rabbul Izzah mentions this incident in the Noble Quran. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرِ. Allah was well pleased with the believers when they swore allegiance unto you beneath the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah knew what was in their hearts. فَانْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah sent peace, reassurance on them. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِجُنُودِ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. Allah granted them a near victory. And this is how the pledge became known as the pledge of Ridwan. Allah Rabbul Izzah further added his stamp of approval, and he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايَعُونَكَ إِنَّا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who make bi'ah, they are in fact pledging their allegiance to Allah. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. The hand of Allah is over their hands. فَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. So he who breaks his word only breaks it to the detriment of himself. And he who fulfills that which he had promised Allah, Allah will grant him a great reward. As soon as the mushrikeen learnt of the intention of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, they quickly released Sayyidina Uthman, and he once again returned safely to the Muslim camp. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began negotiating with the Quraysh. And the Muslim slogan was the same as before: we are here for Umrah, not for battle. May Allah grant us understanding, instill within our hearts a true love and the reverence of Sayyidina Uthman and all the Sahaba and all these great personalities.